Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Proteomics International Laboratories Limited International Study Validates PROMARKER-D Predictive Test for Diabetic Kidney Disease conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dirk Van Dissel, the company's corporate advisor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Taylor. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's call and thank them for their interest in Proteomics' announcement from today. Today's announcement is a very important announcement in the life of Proteomics as a listed company. It's very rare for an ASX-listed company to co-present data with a global pharmaceutical company, especially one the size of Janssen Pharmaceuticals, which is the pharma arm of Johnson & Johnson. I will now like to introduce the Managing Director and Founder of Proteomics, Dr. Richard Lipscombe, to run through today's announcement. We will be holding a Q&A session at the end, and so I welcome everyone to ask questions then. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. This is Richard Lipscombe, and I'm very pleased to be talking to you today about our announcement. And as Dirk said, this is very significant for the future of our company. I'm going to walk through the key points that we put into today's announcement and how that relates to the presentation we did over the weekend at the American Diabetes Association conference. The key here is that PROMARKER-D has now been validated in a major clinical study, and as Dirk said, with a large pharmaceutical company. The reason that we're working in this area is because there's a lot of people with diabetic kidney disease and there are currently no good tests for detecting and predicting the onset of the disease. By working with Janssen, we've been able to take the data that we've been generating over the last 3 or 4 years here in Australia and replicate that in an international cohort of over 3,000 patients. The first point that we'd like to emphasize is that the data does confirm PROMARKER-D is able to predict a clinically significant decline in kidney function up to 4 years in advance. The other statistics that we're really pleased with is how effective the test is at identifying those in a high-risk group. I'll explain in a little bit more detail how we define those groups, but to get an odds ratio of high to low risk of 13.5 times the risk level is a really great piece of science, and we think that that's going to have large implications for the future use of the test. I should add that this builds on the work we've been doing over the last several months, where PROMARKER-D became the world's first and only predictive test for diabetic kidney disease to receive CE mark registration. And that follows from us developing the immunoassay version of the test, which is effectively the kit version and readily usable by laboratories around the world. So now I'm going to step through the paragraphs in the announcement and explain in a little bit of detail what they mean for us as an organisation and what they mean for potential partners and for patients with diabetic kidney disease. The study that we're working on is known as CANVAS. This is a premier study globally and the first major clinical trial that Janssen ran using its drug canagliflozin, which is a standard treatment for diabetes and now has been approved as a treatment for diabetes and cardiovascular disease and recently diabetes and chronic kidney disease. To be working on this cohort really gives us a lot of strength in terms of data and being able to understand how the test would work in a number of patient groups. The study that we presented was the validation of PROMARKER-D as a test for predicting renal decline in type 2 diabetes in the canagliflozin cardiovascular assessment study. That was jointly presented with Janssen Research and Development over the weekend and is still available online through the conference. In terms of how we do the work, we take their blood sample from the patient as they went into the trial. So I should emphasize this is a completed trial. All the samples and all the clinical data has been collected, and the samples sit in a biobank. Those samples were sent to us in our laboratories here in Perth in Western Australia. We then analyze those samples, get a ProMarker D score, and the objective of the work was to predict who would have a significant decline in kidney function during the course of that clinical study. And as you'll see, we achieved a high p-value there of 1.3 times 10 to the minus 104. Effectively, that says the results are highly significant. To step back to some of the implications, 463 million people with diabetes worldwide, already one in three have chronic kidney disease. The consequences of that are people will lead to dialysis or kidney transplant. Very expensive treatment as opposed to a test like ProMarker D, which could be highly cost effective and potentially save healthcare systems billions of dollars. We really do believe that these results have got a significant benefit for not just the company, but for partners in the diagnostics industry, in the clinical profession, and for patients. And we see this as an opportunity to really step forward with the test. But I'll come back to that at the end. What I'd like to do now is focus on the study details, the aim, design, analysis, and outcomes, and explain those results in a little bit more detail. As I said, the aim was to predict which patients who started with a healthy kidney function would experience a clinically significant decline during the course of the clinical trial. We did this work in partnership with Janssen Research and Development and the University of Western Australia Medical School. In total, we looked at 2,976 patients from the CANVAS study, all of whom had healthy kidney function as defined by one of the existing diagnostic tests, the EGFR. So the results that we're presenting here were only patients who were healthy at the start of the test, start of the study. Obviously, there are other patients who were already sick. We are not presenting that data. We're looking at being able to predict healthy people getting sick into the future. Another point to emphasize is that this clinical study was performed on patients who were at high risk of cardiovascular disease. So this is effectively a group of people who are slightly sicker than normal diabetics. They're slightly sicker because they've had diabetes for longer, and if they're at risk of cardiovascular disease, then they have some form of comorbidity. Perhaps they've been a smoker, which puts them in a higher risk bracket. And so that is a point of difference which is worth noting compared to the work that we've done previously. All our findings that we've done on ProMarker D to date have been on healthy or relatively healthy population and community-based patients. So what I mean there is these people know they have diabetes, clearly they're sick, but they're leading a normal life and they're relatively healthy in that respect. So our data so far has been really focusing on trying to catch people very early. This is an attempt to catch people slightly later. And again, the data was very very pleasing from our perspective. And clearly with Janssen choosing to present the results, they're very satisfied with the data as well. The technology platform that we've used to do this work was the existing technology, which we call the ProMarker D mass spectrometry platform, and that enabled us to generate this result to a high quality, and it's a a technology which, I say, we've now ported onto an easier platform, but for this study was completely appropriate. So what we're really focused on then is the ability to predict who will go from a high kidney disease to a low kidney, high kidney function, normal kidney function to a low kidney function. And the analysis that we did used a whole range of statistics, and I'm not proposing to go into details on those. Suffice to say that the results that will come up and speak to the reason we're excited about the data. So let me explain how that traffic light system works. By applying a cutoff between low, moderate, and high risk, or if you like, green, amber, and red zones, we're able to optimize the performance of the test so that we capture the maximum number of people in the high-risk group in the red zone, and we minimize the false positives in the green zone. So the take-home message there is really that chart on page 3 of the announcement, chart 1 showing the high versus low risk. If we're able to put people into the red zone, they have a far greater risk of being, of developing chronic kidney disease during the course of the next 4 years. If we compare that with other tests, and for example, we put the breast cancer BRCA1 test in as an example, it's a very commonly used test for determining the risk of developing breast cancer, and an odds ratio for that test is in the order of 3 to 6 times, and that's an excellent test. And if you have that mutation, it shows the danger of developing breast cancer and the need to monitor very closely such patients and potentially take protective action. So for a test like ProMarker D to achieve an odds ratio of 13.5, says that if we're putting somebody in that high-risk bracket, there really is a need to look after that patient very closely. We're conscious that there's some complexities in terms of understanding those cutoff areas between moderate risk and high risk. The best way to think of this by using the traffic light system is that you get the best of both worlds. We don't have to look at the statistics of the test as a whole. We can look at the test to see how it performs in that red zone cutoff and in that green zone cutoff. So we can maximize what is known as specificity, or the chance that a person really is at risk, and we can minimize false positives. So in terms of those numbers that are at the bottom of that page 3, the high-risk category, odds ratio, as I said, is 13.5. And then the standard statistics, which we've presented previously, show what's called the error under the curve and sensitivity and specificity figures. Any AUC above 0.8 is a highly usable test, and we're very pleased with these results, particularly as we indicated that this is a slightly high-risk patient group, and so we would expect that the test to potentially perform slightly less well in that group because these patients are already sicker and the test was designed to look at people who are healthy. So the difference in AUC sensitivity and specificity is small compared to previous findings. So that's a very important result. The other point in terms of these statistics to mention, the so-called positive predictive value and negative predictive value, we have spoken about these before. And without dwelling too much on the details, the negative predictive value that we mentioned before, 98%, that's also known as a rule out. What we're able to do there is if you were in the low risk category, we could say with high certainty you weren't going to get the disease. What's changed in this study is that in effect, we've got a lot more people who were at high risk of disease and less people who were at low risk of disease. And the positive predictive indicators and the negative predictive indicators effectively mirror that. So that's why we've got a large increase in that positive predictive value, that ability to identify a patient who has a high probability of being positive for the test, and a slight reduction in the negative predictive value, the chance that the patient may not have the disease. But those numbers, again, we're very pleased with. And the last point, this continuous score, what does that mean? This is not a binary test. We provide a patient with a pre-market risk score, which ranges from 0 to 100%. What this data shows is that as that percentage increases, the patient risk of disease continues to increase. So in comparison to the other example that we have at the bottom of the page on the prostate cancer test, as your PSA score increases, the concentration of your PSA protein, you have an increasing chance of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. Unfortunately, that test does suffer from lack of sensitivity, or to achieve sensitivity, you lose specificity. Our test with these data shows that we're able to achieve both at the same time. And so this so-called continuous score is a very positive way of being able to use the test, and that will all support data and clinical practice. As Dirk said, if you have specific questions on any of this or the presentation, I'm happy to go through those in the Q&A session or to take them separately. But I'll finish by saying in terms of what this announcement represents for the company, is this is a culmination of a number of years of hard work. We've always known we've had an impressive test, but we have been working in a highly conservative area where adoption of change can be slow. So in the last several months, we've published the clinical findings and the results from ProMarket E in a number of leading journals and presented them at major conferences. We've ported the ProMarket E test onto an easy-to-use technology platform with no loss of performance, and we've received a CE mark showing the test meets regulatory guidelines in Europe, and that, combined with this latest data, bodes well for regulatory approval in other jurisdictions, particularly the USA and the Federal Drug Administration. So with today's announcement, we now have big pharma validation of the test and further opportunities ahead there. So we now believe that this positions ProMarket E exactly where it needs to be for larger scale use of the test and adoption by pathology and general primary care physicians around the world. And I'll stop there and take any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ash Nand from Nantech Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, Richard. Firstly, just congratulations. Just a quick question on the US reimbursement code. Just wanted to know if that's been submitted and when do you expect to receive it?
Thanks, Ash. At this point, no, it's not been submitted. We've been working with consulting experts in that area. We have established that there's existing reimbursement codes that we can use in the interim, but we've identified an opportunity to target a specific price bracket, and we've been doing focus groups with insurers and diagnostic companies as well as physicians. So that process is one that we've embarked upon. We anticipate submitting the formal documents imminently. And we think we can identify a price point where we could get a test in that perhaps $100 to $2 range relatively quickly. and we'll see how that goes. But we'll make further announcements around that in the second half of this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I will now give you a few moments to register your questions. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I will now give you a few more moments to register. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Van Dissel for my apologies. There has one that has just come in. Your next question comes from Ross Cameron from Cameron Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for that. Congratulations, Richard. It sounds terrific today. Look, this is probably the question that frustrates you the most, but I'm just curious about the revenue lines from here and how long it's going to be and what you foresee in terms of, you know, timelines before it starts to generate some revenue. What have you got in mind?
Yes, fair question, Ross. Obviously, adoption is the biggest barrier for us. The change that is significant and what we were launching at the American Diabetes Association conference this weekend is that we now have the test on a technology platform which is standard use in laboratories, clinical laboratories around the world. So we believe it's going to be much easier to get these labs using the test from here. And the additional point, we have this data from an international study with Janssen's name on it. The benefit of that in terms of getting more eyes on the data and the ability to use it is enormous. We're still in a position where we can't answer simply what the uptake will be, and it would be perhaps naive to forecast revenue for a novel test in an area where there's a lot of conservatism. But what we do know is the primary care physicians want the test. That's what our research and market research is telling us. And we know that the diagnostic companies like the test and consider it readily usable. So we are anticipating significant interest and the ability of labs to take the test up from here. I think we'll start to see revenue through 2020, 2021, and that will give an indication of interest and where we're going. Clearly, at the moment, numbers will only be small, and we're all looking forward to those growing.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Van Dissel for closing remarks.
Thank you, Taylor. As you can all tell, we're very excited by today's announcement, as we see it as independent validation of the ProMarket E test to big pharma standards. And that certainly should not be taken lightly. Proteomics is now moving forward with its licensing and partnering plans for ProMarket E in the USA, and we look forward to updating the market on this in the future. Thank you once again for all your attendance and questions.